This morning, we continue what has been a multi-week series for us of sermons drawn from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, what some have called a handbook for Christian discipleship or a guide to life in the kingdom of God. Today's passage comes from one verse from the sixth chapter and then picking up in the seventh chapter. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if the child asks for fish, would give a snake?" Insert the words, "Of course not." "If you then, who are evil, know how to do good and to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How different and strange Jesus' words sound to our modern ears today. He talks about asking, searching, knocking. It's important to know that in the original Greek language of the gospel, these verbs are used in a way that implies constant, continuous, repeated activity over a long period of time. Jesus is saying, keep on asking, and eventually it will be given to you. Keep on searching, and ultimately you will find. Constantly keep on knocking, and in the end, the door will be opened to you. But of course, that's not how our fast-paced, instant-access world works today, is it? We don't want to keep asking for what we want. We just want it to happen as soon as we ask. Think of a company like Amazon, whose entire premise as a business is to get you whatever you want as fast as possible. All you have to do is ask and pay. And to help you ask even quicker, they've developed this new device called the Amazon Echo. Some of you may have one in your homes. Certainly many of us have seen them on TV. They're these small little tower computers with speakers and microphones. The little robot that lives inside is called Alexa. If you know about Siri, who lives inside your iPhone, Alexa is like Siri's cousin, who's a tad smarter but afraid to leave the house. It's all voice activated. And so if you want something, all you have to do is ask. Alexa, order me a pizza. Alexa, send flowers to my wife for Valentine's. Alexa, rent a movie for me to watch tonight. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Last year, there was a little girl in Texas who was playing with her family's device. She said, "Alexa, order me a dollhouse." And soon, to her parents' surprise, a package appeared on the front porch, thanks to next day delivery. People thought it was kind of funny, and so the local TV station picked up the story and aired it on the evening news. When the news anchor repeated the girl's words, "Alexa, order me a dollhouse," suddenly, throughout the area, thousands of Amazon Echoes turned on and ordered thousands of dollhouses. The moral of the story is, check your security settings. We are so connected to instant access for what we need that sometimes we don't even know what to do with ourselves. The world in which we live is not one of continuous, repetitive asking like Jesus is talking about. Jesus says, search and you will find. Spend your life seeking for something that is worth seeking. But in our age of Google searches and instant information, we get bored with something we have to really search for. No, we want to find things quickly. A few months ago, the Nintendo company forever changed the way that electronic games interact with the people playing with them when they released the game Pokemon Go. In this game, players have to walk around in the real world to locations in their community looking for pretend electronic creatures that show up on their smartphones. When you walk to a place and you see one of these creatures on your screen, you can then interact with it. When the game first came out, some of us saw this. It happened all around the country. People were playing it everywhere. People wandering around, looking down at their phones, sometimes even in the middle of the street, completely oblivious to the world around them, trying to catch these creatures. Search and you will find. It was around that time that I was leaving the church one Monday afternoon, and I saw a man wandering around in our big grassy field. He was walking with his head down, looking at a device in his hand. I kind of got excited. This is the first one of these Pokemon players I had seen. He seemed harmless, and so we're happy for folks in our neighborhood to use our property. And so I just was going to drive on by and leave him alone. But then I saw him stop in one spot, and he pulled out a hammer. And he started pounding a stake into the ground. I have not played the game, but I'm sure that's not part of the rules for how it works. And so I quickly got out and walked over to him. He continued looking down at his device, walking to another spot. I got close to him just as he was about to pound another stake in the ground, and I said, "Excuse me, sir, can I help you?" When he looked up, I recognized his face. It was our scoutmaster from the Boy Scout troop. And the device in his hand was not a smartphone. It was a compass, a real-life compass. He wasn't playing a video game. He was setting coordinates on the field for that night's scout program, where the troop was going to learn about navigation, about using compasses to read maps. In the real world, real life skills for actual searching. That's not something we're used to seeing these days, though, is it? That stands out as strange and surprising today. No, Jesus is talking about something different than what we are used to, about seeking constantly for something over the course of our entire lifetime. And that sounds awfully strange to our ears, doesn't it? We aren't used to sustained searches. We don't want to keep asking, to keep searching, to keep knocking for something that is hidden and holy. When one day's headlines are enough to outrage us, but are quickly forgotten tomorrow. When relationships and moral values that take decades to cultivate are ignored and tossed aside by something else more new and tempting. When we have no time to listen to voices we disagree with, no patience for real life conversations that challenge us in uncomfortable ways to re-examine our thoughts and priorities. When we aren't in it for the long haul, we know that we live in a world that simply isn't interested in what Jesus is talking about. Because Jesus is talking about seeking the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that is vastly different than the empires in which we live. In the kingdom of God, power is shown in sacrifice, suffering, and weakness. In the kingdom of God, peace is maintained through vulnerability and radical hospitality. In the kingdom of God, reconciliation bridges all divisions. In the kingdom of God, Christ alone is Lord and King. None of the rest of us are. And yet all the rest of us are simultaneously the lowliest of servants and honored members of the royal family. In the kingdom of God, the reign of God. The kingdom of God, of course, is not a physical place. It's not a kingdom that's hidden somewhere on a high mountain or deep in a dense jungle. No, it's right here in front of us, all around us, but hidden because we don't know how to look for it. It is hidden because in our sin and selfishness, we would rather not ask about its ways of sacrifice. In our brokenness and arrogance, we would rather abandon the search for it. In our enslavement to our own desires, we forget to knock on its doors. In our self-righteousness, we refuse to enter its narrow gates of grace and love. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, is already made real for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we do not ask or seek or knock for it. There's an old, old story about a medieval village that was in an uproar. Its citizens were sharpening their pitchforks and lighting their torches the way we used to do back in the day. An angry voice leading the crowd shouted, "We must put God back in our country." And the mob who followed him down the road repeated his cries, "We must put God back in our country." They passed by a lonely monk on the road who was heading the other way. When he saw and heard the angry mob, he stopped and spoke softly to them, saying, "Children, do you not know that God has never left your country or your lives? It is not your task to put God anywhere. Merely open your eyes to see his presence. His kingdom that is already all around you." Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Ask, search, knock." How do we do this? How do we open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to God's kingdom? How do we live as citizens in the world, but also citizens of God's kingdom, where our own selfish needs do not get to rule? I think a strong clue lies in the verbs that Jesus uses here to describe this kind of seeking. He says, "Ask, search, knock." Ask for God's kingdom. Ask God, in the midst of prayer, ask, petition, pray to God for the ways of the kingdom to be revealed to you. Ask in prayer. And then search for God's kingdom. Search with your mind, with your study. Don't just lean on what you already know and have always known, but seek to learn more of God's ways. Don't just wade into the kiddie pool of knowledge. Delve deep into the depths of wisdom and wonder. Search with your mind. And finally, knock at the door. Physically knock. Get your body moving and active. Move to the places of power and the places of poverty. Move to the doors that need to be opened and get to work knocking. Ask, Jesus says. Search. Knock. As a wise scholar once said, Jesus' words here suggest that prayer, thought, and work are intricately bound together if we are to cooperate with what God is doing in the world. We must ask, and we must seek, and we must knock all at the same time. It would not do much good, for example, to pray for a peaceful world if we're not willing to give hard and serious thought to how that can be accomplished. And if we're not willing to knock, that doors might be opened and obstacles removed. Friends, Jesus calls us to prayer, to study, to work for His kingdom, for the kingdom of God in the world. He gives us a glimpse, a tiny glimpse, of what such a way of life looks like. It might sound awfully simple in theory, but in practice, it takes a lifetime of seeking to actually live out. He says, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. In everything, the golden rule. Not just some of the time, not just when we feel like it, not just for people that we like or want to impress. No, in everything. In everything, do unto others, all others, whoever they are, what you would have them do to you. In everything, for everyone. That's what living in the kingdom of God looks like. So friends, let's grab our compasses and get to work seeking first for that kingdom. Amen.